This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. It's time for our monthly roundup of environmental news with Makaranga's Wong Siew Lin and Lau Yau Hua. And today we're going to discuss some of the biggest environmental related news from the month past, including the amendments to the Wildlife Act, also how Malaysia plans to achieve net zero by 2050, and also the really intense and rather unusual flooding that's happening in Penampang over in Sabah and how that's related to, you know, deforestation and things like that. So we're going to have all of that discussion. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Good.
Fine, thanks.
Good to have you back on the show. Let's get straight to it. So the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Bill 2021. So that was tabled for the first reading in Dewan Rakyat earlier this month, right? And it's going to include some new provisions, namely Section 88A and 88B. You want to just sort of explain what all of that is about?
Sure. But before I get into that, talking of laws, I just want to say that I misspoke in the last wrap-up. Basically, I think I mentioned that Taman Negara was the only sort of real national park in Malaysia in that it was created under the National Parks Act 1980. Well, that's actually not true. Taman Negara was actually created under three separate state enactments, yeah, in Pahang, Kelantan, and Terengganu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is managed as one unit by the Perhelitan, by the National Parks and Wildlife Department of Peninsula Malaysia, and it actually receives federal funding. Yeah, okay. We do actually have one national park. It's a tiny one that was created under the National Parks Act, and that's actually up in Penang. And recently, it was announced that it's part of this biosphere reserve. Yes, a UNESCO listing for Penang, and that's actually one of Malaysia's only real national park under this federal act.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
thanks
right.
for clarifying
okay.
that.
Well, no worries at all. Yes. So now just to very quickly, I know that you know there's a lot of mention being made about the Wildlife Conservation Amendment Act. Yeah, so 2010, it was tabled on the 11th of October, and so it's up for debates and stuff like that in the coming parliamentary session. We hope that it will pass. It will get passed quite soon. So as you mentioned, there's new provisions in there, but I think just a couple of things to just note very quickly. One is that the fines and the punishments have gone up and become harsher, which I think everybody will celebrate. So just a very quick overview: from 10,000 ringgit fines, they've gone up to 50,000. From 6 months jail sentence, they've gone up to 3 years. For companies, they get fined up to 200,000 ringgit. Yeah, hunting-related felonies now from 20,000 can get fined up to 50,000. And then this interesting thing, menjalankan urusan berniaga tanpa lesen, it's any kind of illegal trading licenses, you can get up to 100,000 ringgit fines and 3 years jail or both, whether you're an individual or a company.
Gosh.
So the penalties are very harsh.
Which is great. I think we'll be celebrated. Yeah, sorry, carry on, Siew Lin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's all very good. And I think a lot of people have been very concerned about the pet trade, the illegal pet trade. So this is hopefully going to cover that. Online selling of wildlife as well. Hopefully this is going to cover that. Yeah, but I think some people are a little bit concerned about the issues that a lot more permits are now required under this new act, this amendment act. Yeah. So for example, they now require a wildlife permit to use wildlife in any kind of religious customs. So that's got quite a lot of repercussions for indigenous peoples, I think. Whether it is in the forest, whether it's a private thing, basically, how is this going to be regulated? Are you going to require every single religious ceremony involving wildlife to have a permit that you have to carry around with you all the time? You know, and what happens if you are quite remote in a rural area, stuff like that, you know? Likewise, with wildlife competitions, I think you had a guest on the evening edition, Tiva Lingam from Sabah Alam, right? Yeah. And she mentioned also like things like the Burung Murai singing competition. Like, how are you going to organize this? How are you going to regulate it? And is there a possibility of it being open to abuse?
Okay. All right. And just moving along, we didn't get to talk about this last month, but when the tabling of the 12th Malaysia Plan happened at the end of September, our Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that Malaysia is committed to its target of becoming a carbon neutral nation by as early as 2050. You know, this was alongside a commitment to stop building new coal-fired power plants and all of that. What are your thoughts on, you know, what our PM had to say?
Yeah, I think that's more good news, right? Following on the wildlife amendment, I think this target to be net zero carbon emission by 2050 caught many of us by surprise. I think because it's a really ambitious timeline. I mean, he did say his actual wording was like we would somehow like, you know, achieve net zero carbon emission by 2050 at the earliest.
At the earliest, yes.
At the earliest, not the latest, but still, not everyone will be looking at 2050, right?
Yeah.
And that's a really ambitious goal because, at least for the region, because, you know, we are ahead of our neighbors. So Indonesia has set it for 2060 to be net zero,
okay.
Thailand for 2065, and Singapore hasn't really set a specific deadline yet.
Okay.
And so we are our timeline is very ambitious. And, you know, what's it about this net zero carbon emissions? It's really, you know, it means that, you know, carbon neutrality means that, you know, the country, like any carbon dioxide that released into the atmosphere or its equivalent is balanced, you know, by an equal amount being removed from it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have factories, you know, emitting carbon emissions, but then you have, say, for example, you save it in the energy or you save it in the forest as sinks, for example, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the Prime Minister, along with his announcement, he has also mentioned several ways that we can achieve it, that we can achieve this target. It's some of what you have mentioned, you know, a combination of reducing our reliance on coal power, which, you know, coal capacity makes up 40% of Malaysia's energy mix now.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to reduce our reliance on that. And, of course, increase you know, the use of renewable energy.
Yeah.
And then he also mentioned, you know, sort of like the setting of markets or maybe just one market for trading carbon credits and even throughout this, suggested this tax on carbon, right? So it's great that our government has set a target, but this is not something entirely new because even before the Paris Agreement in 2015, our government has been, and many of the agencies, both private and government, have been working really hard, really, to set the policies and to do all the study on how we can actually contribute to tackling the climate crisis, right, which is to reduce the greenhouse gases. You know, but there are plenty of criticism against the policies and the approaches and even this target of achieving net zero carbon. I mean, I think in the past few weeks, we have seen several seminars, and if you go onto social media, look for it, you can see, you know, many of the NGOs actually producing very good infographics on such things. So some of the main ones, the main criticism would be, you know, don't use net zero, because by saying net zero, you are still producing, you might still be producing lots of carbon emission. Right. So rather to looking at net zero, you should be looking at like absolute zero emissions, you know,
yeah.
Not to balancing out. And it's also a criticism against like the way we measure our carbon emission. It's like intensity pegged to our GDP. So it's a peg to our economy, mm-hmm. To make it simple. So, you know, we can still reduce our carbon emission under this measurement. But as our economy improves or it expands, we are actually producing, you know, by absolute amount, a lot more carbon.
That's right.
Right. But if we peg it to our GDP, then we will seem like we are reaching the target. So, yeah, there are various criticism against this. Regardless, many parties are really working hard, I think, to get at reducing carbon emission. And a lot of the attention is on the energy sector, of course. But we must also not forget the forests. You know, forests play a huge role in absorbing the carbon out of our atmosphere. And, you know, we still have plenty of forests left. So when we clear the forest, you know, we release the carbon trapped in the forest, in the trees and the soil. And that really weakens our ability to absorb more carbon in the future. So, you know, if we are really serious about tackling the climate crisis, you know, reducing greenhouse gases emission, we really must keep current forests as forests and plant more forests. You know, now there's like a huge campaign to plant more trees. Yeah. But I think we need to look at forests as ecosystems and really to plant more forests, maybe not just trees. Yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, the government said that they will take into account ESG, environmental, social and governance principles in the decision-making process. Let's hope they actually do that when it comes to, you know, talking about development and deforestation and things like that. And, you know, on a similar vein, it's practically the end of the year and I think we're seeing a lot of the rains coming in, right? And gosh, over in Penampang, I think this month alone, they've been hit with floods, what, 6 times? You know, really each time just a trail of destruction, you know, such immense destruction. What's happening over there?
Yeah, flooding is very bad. And I think certainly here in Semenanjung, there's been a lot of attention on the flooding and the mudslides in Yan Kedah. Yeah? But it's pretty bad in Sabah and it's actually been going on for a while now. So in June, they've had like bad floods. Even Kota Kinabalu has also been affected, many, many different places here. And since September, it's just been one flood after another. And these are not little floods. These are like massive floods. They've taken lives. There have been landslides involved, roads have collapsed and damaged, houses and cars lost, trees uprooted, you know, even as the people there are struggling from the COVID economic fallout. So it's double whammy, triple whammy, you know, on top of already people already suffering from health and other economic issues. So yes, as you said, Penampang had at least 6 floods this year alone caused by unusually heavy rain, but also development projects, you know. That's what they're related it to, several development projects. We haven't looked into it, so you know it's at the moment. Let's just take them as assertions. People have taken drone videos and showed sort of related flooding, but you know perhaps just leave them as assertions by now. For now, they're certainly in the news reports and all that kind of thing. But one report I do want to look at, and that's in October, and it was a Vibes report actually. So in Sugut, which is close to Penampang. Right, there was a massive mudslide from hill clearing. Basically, logs and debris came down. So it's very similar to the Yan situation, right? So you've got all these big logs and debris bringing down houses, bringing down roads, overturning cars, and there's alleged land clearing uphill. Basically, a 2,300 hectare rubber plantation by actually a state agency, the Sabah Rubber Industry Board, right? And this, the clearing happened has been going on for some time. So in 2015, I think the villagers really complained that the river water on which they are dependent was muddy, right? So there were investigations and the reporters actually went up, approached this board and just asked them, look, you know, what's going on? Is this, you know, the possible cause of these landslides and the dirty water and pollution? And basically they said, no, we've complied with all environmental guidelines. But the reporter actually checked and there has been no EIA for this large patch of land clearing. Yeah.
Gosh.
Now, this is all, yeah, alleged at this stage. So let me put it out there. However, the locals are actually contemplating a lawsuit against the board. So I think, you know, people have had enough is enough. And now, I don't know, again, are the courts the best way to try and stop land clearing and this kind of disasters? Because they're not acts of God. They are very likely acts of man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, adding to that, you know, there's like there's like an endless list of deforestation and forest loss happening all the time, right? And the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, which still has not yet been gazetted again as of my check last Friday. And so, and you know, that's just a small area, really. It's like, you know, 500 hectares or so. But elsewhere, all throughout the country, there are like thousands of hectares, you know, here and there, you know, being cleared. And if they are further away from, you know, say like cities or towns, and we don't really realize it, but, you know, the repercussions can be really, really serious. I don't know, I think we just need more environmental journalists and more watch groups or something, and everyone to really always be alert and use satellite images. Everyone should learn how to use it.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, you know, if anyone's interested, of course, you guys have covered a lot on deforestation and, you know, everything about forests over at makaranga.org. So if they'd like to find out more, they can head there. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Welcome.
I've been speaking to Wong Siu Lin and Lau Yao Hua. They are the co-founders, co-editors and writers at Makaranga. And if you miss any part of today's interview, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/earth or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.